Today is Tuesday, March 18th, 2008, and I want to welcome you to Breaking Through. We're broadcast on georgian.com and affiliates such as readingsbyraina.com. There are archive shows available 24 hours a day featuring best-selling authors such as Rory Friedman, famed astrologer Susan Miller, and my favorite guy, Daniel Brinkley. You know, I got to say his name every show that I have a chance to, but you'll also find Gabrielle, Norman Ober, Jeannie Clock, and most recently, the traveling vegetarian Yvonne Smith. And speaking of Daniel Brinkley, which I do a lot of, I just can't help but let you know that he's got a special going on his website right now where if you buy one of his books, actually, The Secrets of the Light, if you buy Secrets of the Light, he'll give you a second copy free. So you can give it to one of your friends. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to spread the joy and to spread the word. So it's only good until April 15th, so you got to get on it. April 15, 2008. If you order one copy of Secrets of the Light, Daniel and his wife Catherine, the co-writer of the book, will send you a second copy free. So you can click on the link on georgian.com homepage or visit daniel.com and get your free book. And also, I want to take a moment to, activism is one of my big buzzwords because I'm really into activism. It's very important to me. And if you want to make a difference, you have to speak up. And as we say in the South, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I want to thank Anthony for the inspiration of my new page, Make a Difference. So if you can go to Make a Difference, click on the link, and you can sign his World Peace Petition, not to mention there are other petition sites and real interesting information you can reach there. You can really make a difference in a matter of minutes. I'm going to keep you posted as far as any new sites that I add to that page, but I'm also working on a very special guest who will be coming up in the near future. We're going to have a show dedicated to activism, so I'm going to keep you posted. I want you to be sure that you're on my email list, on my newsletter list. So click on the email newsletter list and make sure your name is there, and I will keep you posted about that. But better news, one of my most favorite topics we're going to speak about tonight, which I'm really excited. My special guest this evening is Diane Garris. Diane, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Well, thank you, Georgianne. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is money and manifesting, which is the name of your book.
Yes, that's my favorite subject right now, too.
And you know what's great about this book is it covers absolutely everything, and I hope we're going to be able to touch on a lot of that tonight.
Yes, I wanted to make it comprehensive, and I wanted to make it what is missing from The Secret, because there are a lot of people out there that The Secret just isn't working for, so I wanted to help in that area.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've got to say, the first thing that I felt was missing from The Secret, and I want to apologize to anyone that thinks that I'm dissing that book or that DVD, because I'm not. I think it definitely made a contribution, and I think it did its purpose. But I thought they missed on the subconscious mind, because that also emits energy. What do you think of that, Diane?
Well, I think you're right. The reason that The Secret became so popular is because it was the right time for the laws of attraction to filter in the mass consciousness and start resonating as truth.
Right.
And so, yes, you're right that it served its purpose. That's what had to happen. But the law of attraction is one step in the process of manifesting. It's not the whole thing.
Right.
So once we get that, the foundation, they gave us a great foundation.
Right. It opened the dialogue. I mean, at least people are interested. And, you know, there are some people that say it worked for them. Why would you say that The Secret worked for them alone?
Well, you know what? It works to some degree because, as you know, because you read the book, the power of manifesting, we can't just do this with our mind. Mm-hmm. We have to do it from our root chakra, which is the chakra of creation. And so people that this is working for, it's working in a limited way. And there are two reasons. Either they're completely unblocked in their root chakra, and so, you know, that energy flow is flowing, and so they're able to manifest. Mm-hmm. Or it's working in a limited way where they're managing to attract these things to them, but maybe they won't stay.
Well, I'm going to work up to my next question, but I want to let everyone know that you're not only an author, but you're a brilliant musician.
Oh, thank you very much.
I've listened to your music. I go to your website every so often on MySpace.
Yes.
And I'll just sit and listen to, you know, through the rotation of music.
Oh, thank you.
I do. It's really relaxing. So, and we'll talk about that a little later, too. But what the audience may not realize is you're also a clairvoyant.
Yes, I am a clairvoyant.
So I guess what I want to ask, do you think your clairvoyance, are you able to see the energy patterns as they flow? Or can you explain, is that part of how you realized that chakras were deeply involved in this process?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, I see energy fields and chakras, and I've seen those since I was quite young and didn't really know what that was, you know, didn't have a label for it. But yes, I see auras and chakras and have for years.
Because mm-hmm. Some clairvoyants only see like images or people, or they don't necessarily see energy or how it moves. So that you feel that is a part of the gift you were.
It is a part of the gift, and you know too, the clairvoyant has and psychic and so on. These words have really become confused. We have, you know, we weren't just dropped off here on the planet with no way to communicate. Everybody has intuition. And as we awaken more to who we really are, this intuition is becoming, you know, people are coming into their intuition. This is not necessarily psychic and it is not clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is the ability to see into the future.
Right.
And intuition or what we've come to term as psychic ability is just that. It's intuitive knowingness or intuition.
Right.
So there's a difference there. I actually do see into the future, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do see into the future. So it's not just a knowingness or an intuitiveness or someone I'm talking to or what have you.
Right.
So, yeah. So in addition to seeing the energy fields, I do go forward.
Exactly. So for anyone in our audience that we're using the word chakra, and I just want to make sure everybody knows what that word means, because they may not be aware of it. So can you explain what a chakra is?
Yes. Chakras are energy centers. You know, we have our physical body, and then we have our spiritual body, which includes the chakras and their energy centers on the body, and each one is a different color, and each one has a different function. But the key, really, to chakras is that they're all connected. But I think, you know, it's important for people to understand. There's a lot of information out there about chakras, but no one really talks about how do we balance these, and what do we do with them, and even if we can see them, now what do we do? So that's what my work is about. It's how to connect everything up so that you're opening an energy pathway.
So how do chakras get out of balance, you think?
Well, just like, you know, if anyone is familiar with the Louise Hay material, you know, things, disease and so on, and perceptions filter in from the outside, and then they get stuck in the physical body. So your belief systems and your perceptions get stuck in the body, and then they're going to get stuck in the chakras as well.
Ah.
So it's just, you know, you get blocked by your own perceptions.
So it could be someone that may have a physical ailment could put it out of balance, or someone, even their thinking can put it out of balance. Is that correct?
Yes, thinking, yes. Perceptions, thinking, yes. Because anything that they have physical has already come from somewhere else. I mean, it didn't start there. It came from thoughts and perceptions.
Exactly. So I just want to make sure the audience realizes that you don't necessarily have to be physically sick for your chakras to be out of balance. It could be, you know, it could be something that's embedded mentally, subconsciously, consciously. It could be. There could be other ways for this to happen.
Yes, it's you know, an energy imbalance, truly. And the other thing I want to say about chakras too, because this came up recently for me, is somebody said to me, are chakras evil? And I said, well, no, because you have your, in your, let's say you have your physical body, and in your physical body you have your teeth, and you take care of your teeth just like you take care of a part of your, any other part of your body. And chakra balance and chakra awareness and so forth, this is just part of taking care of your spiritual body. So it is not displeasing, it is not evil, it is something actually very necessary to your health and well-being, yeah. Just like brushing your teeth.
It's like a shock absorber or something on your car.
Well, yes, if you don't take care of your equipment, you know, it's not going to function correctly and
there
smoothly.
Or is your heart evil? No?
Right, exactly. It's just, you know, there's nothing evil or strange about it. And there, you know, people actually want to know more about this. And so this is, you know, part of what the law of attraction is starting to open up as well. It's like, wait a minute, we're missing something. And what is it? And it's the next step in this really is learning about chakras and chakra balance and making a flow for energy to flow on and
right.
So forth. So that's
now, Diane, you're a really busy girl. I got to say, when I looked at all the things you do, I'm thinking she's got to be doing this in her sleep too.
I don't sleep. that's really the truth.
Well, your music, I noticed the chakra balancing with music. I want to talk about that too, because how does music affect the balancing of our chakras? And is that the reason why you think you got into music? Or it's almost like it's a nice little woven pattern you have here. The book, the music, they're all going to work together, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I've been building an integrative toolbox filled with tools, and the book is, see, I'm getting ready to be done building, so the book is kind of at the top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a DVD that I'm working on for chakra balance, and also there will be one more CD that vibrates to the eighth chakra, which no one ever talks about. So, yes, everything works together, and I've been building this, it's a progression, because I knew, you know, what went at the top already. Mm-hmm. So I started, of course, at the beginning, which was with a healing journey, Voice of the Angels, and that is my cards, my angel cards, are based on every card is a theme from that meditation. So that was the whole beginning of this in 1993,
wow.
Was that one meditation.
Wow,
and,
so this has been a work in progress then.
Right, mm-hmm, yes.
So, can you tell the audience how music affects the chakra? What happens when that chakra that you have literally geared that CD for, that music for, what happens?
Okay, sound is vibration, and sound vibration carries energy and healing. And so, when you're listening to music, if anyone has ever had this experience where you're listening to a piece of music and it moves you, and you feel, you might even verbalize, that was really moving to me. Or someone that's listening to rock music and, you know, you have the beat. Music and sound vibration has healing abilities. You can't, maybe someone didn't really say, you know, why they were moved by something, but they actually feel a shift. So when you're listening to music, it does affect you, even though you can't maybe verbalize exactly how. So with my work, the music is all made to work with certain chakras and balance, you know, to balance them.
So does it balance on a long-term basis, or is it balancing for that time and hopefully getting yourself out of whatever imbalance you're in?
Well, here, it's like in healing, in any healing work, and even in any medical thing, you can go to the doctor and kind of, you know, quote-unquote, get fixed. And then what happens after that is basically up to you. You can go to a healer, you can go to a massage therapist, and when you come out of there, that energy pattern that you've worked on while you were doing that work, that body work, is going to stick with you as long as you don't go back into your old pattern. So when you start going back into your old pattern, then that imbalance might come in again.
Yeah, if you're not working at the root cause, then of course it's going to manifest itself again, right?
Right. It's why exactly. And so if you get to the root, you can change the pattern, and that's really the goal, and that's the goal of my work, is I want to help people change their basic pattern. And so, yes, you're listening to the CDs, you're going through, and you're not going to feel the shift. How long that lasts is up to you.
Right.
But as you go up higher in my CDs, you get to a place where those old patterns don't work anymore, and you don't even want them.
Right, right.
So, you know, I'm trying to make a shift that's lasting rather than, you know, just keep running back to the doctor.
Right. Well, for those of you that are just tuning in, I'm talking to Diane Garris, who's author of the book Money and Manifesting, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that too, Diane. What is money?
Money, you know, money. You read the book, right?
Yeah, I read the book. And you have a different response to that some people may not realize. And so maybe we can talk about, let's get to the beginning. What is money?
Okay, money is pieces of paper, but we use it for our fair exchange. We could use anything, you know, we could use beads, we could use jewelry, we could use anything, but we have chosen to use these pieces of paper. And we firmly believe that these pieces of paper have power. So we give them that power, and that's what fuels the energy of money. But if you try to understand it as it's just a fair exchange, and it's just energy, then you can move forward, because if you understand how energy works, you know, now this is a whole different thing. Than
right.
Just, oh my God, you know, I have to have these pieces of paper. This is energy. So it's helpful to learn how energy works and functions, and then you can attract that.
Exactly. It's too bad we don't go back to the old barter system, right?
Right, because, you know, that wouldn't be so bad, because as we travel on this path, the more and more we have a distorted relationship with money. And money resides in the energy of money resides in our root chakra, and our root chakras are getting very distorted, and along with that, our ability to create is getting very distorted.
And I think this interview, in my opinion, is coming at a great time, because if you watch the news, well, and if you watch it too much, then it gets very depressing. But you know, economically, we're going through some changes right now, so. What we're doing, I think, what kind of energy we're putting out there. When we keep
right, it's right. Well, you know, we have to get this relationship with money into perspective, into the proper perspective. It's not the money that has the power. It's the energy of the exchange. So, you know, in order to shift globally, we just have to get that in perspective, or it's going to be used against us.
Exactly. Well, you know, I have this expression I use all the time, is your life can change on a dime. No matter what's happening today, tomorrow, everything can completely change. But and so economically or financially or monetarily, that can change too.
Yes. Yes, it can. Like, in a heartbeat.
What?
So we have to really know who we are without the money. And some people take this to an extreme, you know, where they plan this lesson for themselves because they really need to know who they are without that money. And then they find themselves on the brink of bankruptcy and wonder, you know, okay, that forces you kind of to say, who am I without my money?
Right, right. Now, why do you believe that our relationship with money resides in our root chakra?
Well, it's you know what? Energy of money just resides there, but I believe it has to do with creation.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, our divine right to create resides there in that chakra. But the other things that reside in there are family issues and tribal issues and sex issues and self-worth issues. And so if you have the energy of money residing there in the root chakra, along with self-worth issues, these two can get tangled up, especially if they're distorted. I actually don't know exactly why the energy of money resides there.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that it does.
Right. And for anyone that isn't familiar with chakras, isn't it just like a straight line down from the top of your head to the base of your spine? Actually, there's you'll see like balls of different colors of light, and the root chakra is the last one, the one at the very bottom, correct?
At the bottom, correct, okay. Yes. And this is, you know, where the energy of creation resides. Anyone that's had a child, you know, think about that. We don't create a child with our minds.
Right, exactly. Well, some people might think they do.
But, well, part of it, I mean, you might think, okay, I'm receptive of a child, and then you actually have to, you know, do something with the energy of the root chakra to make that all happen.
Exactly.
It's a process.
Right. So I was wondering about that, because I know the root chakra, a lot of people will talk about it, you know, feeling grounded, feeling like planting yourself, you know, in the earth to keep yourself very balanced. And so money can really take you off balance. I wondered if there was any correlation with that, because people have the perception, if I don't have enough money, then I'm off balance. If I have a lot of money, well, they're still off balance, just in the opposite direction. It's like a polar opposite feeling.
Right, and then they get into this, what I call, you know, negative manifesting. But here, if you think about just any plant, okay, if you plant something in the ground, that entire system is fed by the roots. It's not the other way around. We don't have the flower before we have the root system. We have the root system, that's where everything comes up from.
Right.
And then, if that's done properly, then the plant flowers and blooms and grows.
Exactly.
So you don't have the flower first and then go, okay, I better think about the root.
Right.
Just backwards.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, Diane, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you want to say to the people that believe poverty or scraping by is their lot in life? This is just what they've been resigned to.
Oh, gosh. You know, that whole perspective makes me very sad, because it's just untrue. And I would say, you know, think about, where did you learn that your self-worth was tied up with what you have? And then the other thing is, we have really fooled ourselves into believing that we need these pieces of paper to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, truly do not. And all these people that are afraid of losing their money or being stuck, you know, there aren't any limitations, so no one needs to be stuck. And losing your money, you need to really examine the self-worth issue. What would happen if you had to live in a tent? I mean,
right.
Does that mean that you're completely worthless? We seem to tie up money with safety,
mm-hmm.
And it's just not so.
Well, you know, this is not a new story. This has been going on for ages, but it's been known that a lot of people that are involved in the stock market, for example, that if they take a dive with the stock market and they're left penniless, there are a lot of people that will commit suicide over it. They think that their life is their money.
Right. And as I said before, who are you without your money? And that can be taken to an extreme, because if you lost everything tomorrow that you had materially, who are you?
I think a lot of people would be hard-pressed to answer that question.
Yes. Well, you see, for me, I just know that if I lost all my money tomorrow, I know exactly who I am, and I know exactly that I would be fine, and I have no, and I also know how to create more. So, but the choice is always there to sit there and wallow in it and be a victim and go, okay, I lost all my money, I don't know who I am, you know, now I'm going to kill myself. That's just victim.
Right, it's really sad, isn't it?
Yes, anyway, you really cannot manifest anything if we're a victim.
Right. Well, you know, my parents were Depression children. They were raised during the Depression. And I realized a long time ago, when I started really studying Law of Attraction, I realized that I had that mentality. I had learned that mentality from them. About wasting and about, you know, hoarding money or not spending anything unnecessarily. Or it was just a mindset that I had about money, and I had to really work on that for years.
Well, exactly. You know, we don't come in here as babies knowing anything about money or how it affects our self-worth. That is taught to us. And these patterns that are taught to us hold us back, unless they're healthy patterns. But the poverty consciousness that you're speaking of is just, it gets in the way of being able to manifest anything.
Right. But, you know, we're having an opposite issue right now. You know, I'm talking about years ago in the 20s, 30s, 40s. I'm talking about that time frame. And now I want to talk about the time frame that in the present, where what I'm noticing is this entitlement thing.
Yes.
And it just blows my mind how everyone thinks that, not everyone, I'm sorry, that was a blanket statement by so many people, believe that they're entitled to whatever they want.
Yes, and, you know, I have a little book about that. It's called Fish Tale of Woe Lost at Sea. and it makes me laugh. I don't know why. It's just, it's a short little book, like 40 pages, but it really illustrates that whole entitlement thing in such a way where someone can read it and go, oh, that's me. Or, oh, I know someone that does that. And, entitlement sticks us in a place where we cannot manifest from a place of entitlement. We cannot manifest from a place of victimhood. And, these things get in our way. And we cannot manifest from a place of limitation.
Yeah, you're answering the question before I even got it out. I was wondering, is this a form of manifestation, this entitlement? Is that what you think their mindset might be? Is that if I just believe it's mine, it should be mine, or?
That is entitlement, yeah. They believe that's the whole, you know, a lot of the violence is based on that, too. And, you know, what gives you the right to take something that isn't yours? I mean, it's all distortion in the chakras, truly.
Mm-hmm.
It starts, and it's about the distortion that's coming from the root chakra.
Right.
That our relationship with money has just become ridiculously distorted.
And, you know, the thing I noticed, and you touched on this in the book too, is the fact that there's no expression of gratitude with people that have this entitlement thing going on. They're not grateful to anybody. They just think it's their birthright, and they think that you're supposed to give something to them, and there is no gratitude connected with it.
No, and in order, one step in manifesting is to be grateful, because that opens up the pathway. So if you're stuck in entitlement and you have no gratefulness and no forgiveness and so forth, you cannot manifest. You are blocked. You are blocking yourself, truly.
Right. No, I agree, because I don't understand how some individuals don't express that gratitude when they're given something of such a great, you know, a great gift of any kind. And I've seen people, it's almost like they'll roll their eyes if it's not something they wanted. They don't even know how to be grateful for something, for anything, just because of the fact that it was given to them, they can't be grateful for that.
Yes, and you know, too, this has something to do with self-worth. This you owe me mentality has something to do with self-worth in terms of they feel that you know, this is owed because. But some underlying all of that is some kind of issue of self-worth.
Right. I mean, this mentality can't go on forever, because eventually they're going to have to be responsible, right? I mean, not everyone's going to just, you know, wish to give you something all the time. I mean, they're going to have to suck it up one day and say, okay, no one's giving me anything here.
Well, yes, one can only hope. But
yeah, really, well.
Some people stay stuck for a lifetime just because, it works for them. This energy pattern works for them in some way. They get what they need out of it. That's why people remain victims, is they're getting something out of it.
And, you know, there's so many things I want to make sure we have time to talk about. And one of them, and I believe this, and I didn't even know I was believing this before I read it, but I'm a stickler for cleaning up, you know, getting rid of things that don't serve you anymore, for giving things away if they're in good condition, you want to give it to someone, cleaning up your household and your surroundings, call it feng shui, call it what you may, but you touch on that too. What do you think about cleaning up your surroundings and how this affects our ability to manifest?
Well, you just have to clean up. I mean, if you have a lot of clutter, what in the world can come in? and you have no room. So when you're cleaning up, you're making an energy pathway. Mm-hmm. Nothing can come to you if everything is all messy. And, you know, people with money issues, you know, these are the people that are throwing the bills in the garbage and they're avoiding it, and they're letting bills pile up, or they're letting paperwork pile up. And how in the world can anything come in with this kind of mess?
Right. If you had to tell someone the top three or the top, you know, a few things they could do to start the flow of, the flow of energy to where it would flow easier and better in a positive way for them, would you say that cleaning up might be on the top three things they could do today?
Yes, in the physical world, absolutely. Clean up, you know, the papers. Because if you're trying to attract papers, and you already have a bunch of worthless papers there in your house, how can other paper come in?
Right.
Yes, number
one.
How
can I get in the door? I mean, I'm not going to be able to walk in there either if there's stuff all over the place, right?
Right. But yes, number one, on the physical plane, absolutely clean up that mess. Yes.
So that could be something, if you wanted to, like, after this show, if you said, okay, I want to start the process of manifesting abundance, that's like the one thing they could start doing today.
Yes, immediately.
Okay. What would you say is another important thing they could do to start?
Well, I would say, you know what, examine your belief systems, because that's really the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Examine the belief systems that you have around money and who taught those to you.
Right.
And because they aren't really yours. If you really get down to it, they're not yours. You learn them, just as you said.
Yeah, and we pretty much know who our first teachers are. I mean,
yeah.
Usually, and it's not playing the blame game here, but, you know, our parents learn from their parents who learn from their parents. I mean, it's a cycle, right?
Yes, it is. It's victims of victims, yes.
Right, so, I mean, if it's not someone else, it's most likely a parent or someone who raised you, because that's what they believe too. Like I said, it's not blaming. It's not like, okay, let's point a finger somewhere. But
right, because everybody just does the best that they can do, and your parents probably didn't even realize what they were doing. They were trying to instill in you, you know, values.
Exactly. Well, it's just like with my parents. Like I said, they were raised in a depression, so that's was a sign of the times.
Right, and so they just pass on what they believe to be true.
Right, exactly.
So the third thing would really be to make a decision that, you know, and I call this aligning your will, but to make a decision that you really are done living in this victim-limited entitlement mode.
Right.
And so once you make a decision to do that, it begins to shift the energy.
Now, how would you say, what are some of the signs the audience can look for to know that this is working? Because, you know, with Law of Attraction, they were doing this over and over again, affirmations, thinking positive, and, you know, it went on and on and on, and I don't know that a lot of people were recognizing if it was working for them. How would someone know with some how these changes are working for them? What will they see or feel or know that it's working?
Okay, first of all, the very first thing is you just energetically feel different. I mean, I've had people, you know, call me up and tell me that. It's just like I close the book and I just get it. I feel, you know, different. And all of a sudden, they just start, you know, it just starts working for them. But one of the things is that it's a feeling. You're going to feel a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you're going to start to see signs of synchronicity, things happening in your life where it's just you're thinking about something, and then all of a sudden that shows up for you.
Right. So
and so that's how you're going to know. And then you're going to know you're on the path.
And it may not necessarily show itself as money right away or as finances right away, because you're saying in the book that you could manifest several different things in your
right.
life.
Yeah, it's not going to, you know, it's not, here, the goal of manifesting money shouldn't be the goal. That's why I didn't call the book Manifesting Money. I called it Money and Manifesting, because it's about money and it's also about manifesting.
Right.
And so if you start off with the goal being, I want, you know, several million dollars. This is limiting yourself, and you're actually creating a blockage by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're just opening and aligning your will to manifesting in general, you're going to allow for whatever you need to flow to you.
Right.
And along with that is eventually going to come those pieces of paper or whatever that you want to come to you. But you know, if you're saying I want $10 million, you're telling the universe what to do, and so you're limiting how any fair exchange can come back to you.
Right. Right. I agree. What if the universe wanted to give you $20 million? Are you going to turn it away?
There you go. Exactly it. That's it. So, yes, I just feel that, you know, you need to understand that we do not create from the place of needing, wanting, and desiring. We have to create from a place of alignment, which means, okay, whatever I need flows to me, and I'm going to do everything I can on the physical plane to clear a space for that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is when I pray or when I think or when I put my energy out there, I just want my needs met, you know, no matter what they are.
There you go.
Hope
exactly.
Whatever my needs are, as long as they're met, you know, I'm happy.
That's right. And with so many people focusing on, I really need $10 million or I really need, you know, this or that, this is blocking, and it keeps you in a mode. It really does keep you in a mode of victim. And what you're doing by opening up and saying all my needs are met, you're allowing things to flow to you, and that's what that is key to manifesting.
Exactly. So do you think when people give a specific number, do you think they're also setting themselves up for some kind of disappointment, or, you know, if they didn't see that certain number for whatever reason, and the result of that, they would just be like, oh, it didn't work for me, or, oh, you know, this I didn't get what I wanted, or...
Well, see right there, I didn't get what I wanted. Now you're having a tantrum. So by... you know, you're demanding and telling the universe what you need and want. Well, the universe already knows what you need and want. If you just align with it, it's going to happen. So yes, if you're saying, you know, I'm putting this number on this and I'm all disappointed, yeah, tantrum and limiting.
Exactly. And I think, too, don't you think that we see other people, we look at other people and what they may possess or have, and we think they look happy, so if I have that, then I'm going to be happy, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we I don't know. I sure know that money does not bring happiness. We can just look at Britney Spears and see this. Okay?
Exactly.
Money does not bring happiness.
No.
At all. And, yeah, no.
Owning a lot of paper doesn't make you very happy.
Yes.
No, I agree 100%, but I think that's what happens is everyone looks at other people in a one-dimensional way. They look happy because they're smiling and they have something, and then we think, okay, they own this, they look happy, then if I have that, I'll be happy too.
Well, it's an illusion, truly. It's just an illusion of that because, as I said, you know, you can look at somebody that has that and think that doesn't mean that they are happy, or you can think that might bring you happiness. Now, it might bring you temporarily out of your issue, but the underlying issue that you had does not get solved by the influx of the money.
Exactly.
Because you didn't get rid of the underlying issue.
You know what I thought immediately when I finished your book, Diane? It's ironically, I was also reading A New Earth at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And I stopped reading it because I wanted to get you on the show. And I said, I got to read her book because I really am interested in this. And when I finished your book, and I thought, you know, this book is really a nice compliment to anyone that's reading that book right now. Because you touch on so many of the same topics that he's touching on, but you know, he does it in such a deep way. It's like you have to read it over and over and over again for it to absorb, and you really touch on a lot of the same topics that he's discussing.
You know, I was wondering that because I haven't had a chance to read the book, and I I felt a resonance with it, so I was wondering that. So that's exactly. Good to know.
Well, it's talking about the consciousness. It's talking about the duality, as you discuss. And so, really, I mean, your book, if I started early enough, I probably could have read it in one good day. But, you know, it took a few nights because, unfortunately, I work. Not unfortunately, but fortunately, I work. But I can't finish a book in one night like I used to. But I really thought about that, and I said, you know, he says it in a much deeper way that you have to continually read over and over again, and your book really touches a lot of the same topics as far as where our mindset is. I mean, he talks about the ego, and he talks about it in a different way, but really it's saying the same thing. I mean, much of the topic is the same.
Well, that's so interesting. I'm really glad to know that, so thank you for sharing that with me, because I think, you know, what I really just tried to do is make it all really easy for everybody. Because, you know, meditation is perceived as work, manifesting is perceived as work, life is perceived as work, and it doesn't have to be that way. I wanted to bring joy to people in helping them, you know, on their path. So if you can listen to music and it's going to shift you, that's easy. If you can read, you know, my easy little book there and you know that automatically it's going to shift you, that's great.
Yeah, it is a nice compliment to that book. If anyone who's reading A New Earth, they would definitely, this would be a really nice compliment to that. I mean, you could really, like I said, a few nights and it will help instill, especially the duality and the consciousness. You know, we're talking about the higher consciousness in your book. Not every single topic is the same because he's talking about some things much deeper, but it is, anyone would enjoy this book that's reading that one.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it and I'm going to read it. I did read his first book, or his other book. I don't know if it was his first book, but The Power of Now.
Exactly.
I did read that. And I think that was a few years ago that came out. But it was excellent.
Well, one thing he doesn't do that you do is have fictitious characters in your book.
It was so interesting because I had the book in my head for a long while and I knew I was going to write it. And I have never written a character in my life. And I said to Spirit, I said, okay, you want me to, what? You know, you want me to wrap fiction around my information. Okay. So I said, well, I don't know how to do that. You know, now here's a perfect example of getting out of limitations, okay? Because I actually had some fear around that. I said, my goodness, well, I don't know how to do this. So the answer was just write the characters. That's where you start, just write them. And I said, well, I don't know how these people are going to interact and what are they going to do and what's the point? And the answer was just write the characters. So I did that. I wrote the characters. I had no idea what they were going to do. In fact, I won't spoil the story, but at the end, you know, there's a tarot card involved, and I had no idea that was going to be involved or what that was going to mean. And it was an amazing process, even for me. I just thought, wow, that's amazing.
It really, I'm sitting there, I was reading the first chapter. I mean, you go into it in the very first chapter, and I'm reading, and I'm like, I'm looking at the book cover, and I'm looking, I'm like, okay, this is the, okay.
Yeah.
I have the right book here.
Yes, exactly, because, you know, you think it's just going to be a manual, and you know, about how to do this, and then, but all of those characters have chakra blocks, and for example, that first character is very wealthy, but, you know, he's having trouble manifesting, you know, other things, so my point with the fiction was to make a reflection for people, because if you can see yourself reflected somewhere, then you have a springboard for change and growth and transformation.
Exactly.
Whereas someone could say to you, hey, you're really in your ego, well, you're not going to hear that or do anything about it.
Right.
It doesn't change or shift you, but if you can see it in a different way, you have the springboard to change.
Well, I thought Danielle Steele better just move over because I really, really like these characters. I was so tempted at some points because for the audience, of course, they don't know what we're talking about probably, but what happened is Diane wove every so many chapters, she would weave in a character story, and then you continue reading, and then it'll revisit that character story again. And I would get tempted to say, okay, I really want to know what happened here. Let me just move ahead. And let me see if I can find where that character, you know, takes up again. And I just thought, no, Georgianne, keep reading. But yeah, I mean, the characters were that good that I kept trying to get ahead of myself and go to the next, you know, the next storyline where it picked up again.
Well, that is so interesting because here's what I've discovered. Wherever you stop reading the book, is kind of where you're blocked. So they'll give you an indication of what you need to work on. And then I've had some people say the characters are just irritating to me and I just want the information. But then they were really compelling, so I you know, wanted to know more. But see, the book is designed that way to keep you focused and on track. And if you find yourself, you know, wanting to do what you were saying you wanted to do, just skip through, it's an exercise in focus.
Right. Exactly, because even with A New Earth, which is a very deep book, you find yourself, you know, starting to revert to things that it implies of yourself. You know, you kept thinking, this is where I see this in myself, I do this, or this happened to me, and you have a tendency to move to that. And that's what made it so hard to keep focused on a certain book. And in your book, it was like, okay, I totally understood it. I was like, oh, this is great. Yes, I agree, I agree, I agree. And then it would start with the characters. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then,
It made shift, didn't it?
Yes.
That's good. I'm glad it does what it's supposed to do. In order to balance our chakras, focus is really a big part of that. So that's what I'm kind of, you know, making people do when they're reading the book.
I would have had a tendency to start looking at my own life and just gotten so distracted. And then instead you keep that theme and you go in with the story. And I think it worked really well. I just thought it was very unique and I applaud you for that. It was a great idea.
Well, thank you. You know, it wasn't really my idea. It was Spirit's idea. So we co-created it.
Well, you give credit where it's due. That's great.
Well, this is manifesting. You know, you have to co-create. You approach it from a co-creation rather than I want $10 million. That is just creating from your own self, your own ego. Right. Whereas if you're co-creating, all this magic can happen, just like it happened, you know, with my characters. It was just absolutely magical. I was astounded. I had to look up that particular tarot card because I had no idea what it was.
Oh, gosh.
I go, oh, my God, and I started laughing out loud, and I said, this is just amazing.
Well, it really was. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought that was a really neat twist. And so is this not your first book?
Not right now, but you know what? I have a journal that goes with the cards, the Voice of the Angels cards, so you can journal about your card readings, and then I have a journal that goes with the CD, so you can journal about your meditative journal, your journeys. And I have an intuitive cookbook, which was the beginning of how do we transform energy, because that's another step in manifesting, transforming energy and working with it. And so cooking is a really basic root chakra kind of thing, but it involves all of your chakras. And so that's why I wrote that, is because it was a prelude to manifesting. So you can take raw ingredients, and what you're doing in cooking is you're taking raw ingredients and you're transforming them into something that nourishes you. That is the beginning of manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great, great fun to do. It was just wonderful fun. And then I wrote Fishtail of Woe, which is my story of entitlement. Yeah.
And it's timely, too, because I think that's exactly what we're faced with right now, I'm finding.
Yeah, the entitlement, yes.
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 Well, you know, I want you to take this opportunity to tell us everything going on with you right now, because you have, like I said, you're a busy woman. I can tell by your website. And could you let our audience know how they can find out more about what you're doing, what your this cookbook, and how they can purchase it? Or, I mean, tell us a little bit more about how to find these, your book, and where can we find you?
Okay, well, I have about 15 websites, but I'm going to give you the main ones, because the main site is voicesoftheangels.com, and I am right now in the process of having that redesigned, because in the past 2 years it got really, really large, and there were a lot of, you know, there's a lot of information there. I write a daily channeled message, and, you know, there are free astrology reading articles, and there's an angel card reading for free, and there's a lot going on there. So it just got really non-user friendly. But I'm having that redesigned, but it's voicesoftheangels.com. That's where I'm at most of the day. It's really interactive. And then for money and manifesting, I made a dedicated site. Even though you can get money and manifesting on Voice of the Angels, right now it's still a little hard to navigate until we finish with the redesign. But it's moneyandmanifesting.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the products themselves can be just found on DianeGarris.com. So all the products are right there. So.
And just so everyone knows, you spell your name in a unique way.
Yeah, forgot about that.
So it's DianeGarris.com.
Yeah.
But I like the way that's spelled. That's neat. But and what about your music? Because I know that if anyone wants to hear it, they can go to your MySpace.
Yes, it's MySpace.com/Voice of the Angels. And yeah, that's the best place to hear the music right now. I do have a downloadable music store on my site, but as I said, we're redesigning and moving all that, so it's going to be really easy to download from my site, too. So.
Well, you say that's the easiest place to hear it, but really, you have stations all over playing your music.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, Allude was just number one on Soundscapes a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I was just so happy about that. It was amazing.
Yeah, they're playing your music everywhere. I mean, the list is huge. I mean, there's no way I could. I mean, we'd need another half hour or so for me to talk about all the stations playing your music. But you get around.
Yes, I'm getting around.
So I mean, everyone really loves it. I mean, for any of you, I've been in the music industry. So for any one of you that don't know, it's not easy getting someone to play your music. It's not easy.
Well, you know, when I first put the music out there, and my I had a radio promoter, you know, promoting it to the New Age stations, and he said to me, "Well, Diane, you know, you're in the top 20," and I said, "Well, that's nice." And he said, "No, you don't get it. You came out of nowhere. It just wasn't sinking in, you know."
Wow.
It's good that, you know, I just wanted to get out there and do what it's supposed to do, which is help people shift vibrationally automatically. That's what I want to happen.
Right. And so, yeah. No, and see, that's the thing. When you're doing what you love, and you really don't get caught up in, you know, what is a result of that. You just know you're doing what you love, and people are enjoying it.
Yes, well, you know, there is one thing I do want to say about doing your passion, because I think it's really important. We hear this about just do your passion and the money will follow. And I want to say, you know, that's not necessarily so, because we have a lot of people that are doing their passion and they're on the verge of bankruptcy, and they're wondering why. The reason is because your will is not aligned with universal will, and you have some kind of block in your root chakra. It's true. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the root chakra, but also you have to understand that the chakras, just like everything else, integrate, and they work together, and they're connected. And so you have to unblock them all. So it's not just the root, but the root is where the energy of money resides. So if you're focused on money, that's, you know, you have to, to manifest anything, you have to clear and balance your chakras and open that flow. You just do.
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, I agree. I think that is one step in the right direction, though, that if you can't do something that you're not loving or enjoying, because you're not going to be able to do that long.
Yes, you have to have your passion. You absolutely have to have the passion. But the passion needs to be connected.
Right.
And so for those that are not doing their passion, yes, you have to do your passion. And for those who are doing your passion and finding you're not making any money or creating a flow or what have you, you're not manifesting, it's because you're not, your chakra system, you're not, your flow is not connected.
And you know, we were talking earlier about, I think this is the appropriate time to say it, where we were discussing how we do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And
yes, you have to get out of your pattern.
Right, and if you're doing something continuously, if you haven't changed up what you're doing and you're still not getting what you're wanting, there's a pretty good chance, wouldn't you say, Diane, that maybe you need to try something new?
Yes, try it, and you know, examine, get to the root of it. Truly, get to the root of what is blocking you and why you're blocked, and you're going to find that it's either fear-based, someone else's, something that they put on you, mm-hmm. or you're trying to do it from your ego.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of people believe in destiny, and they think if they just keep doing it, apparently destiny will just catch up, and you know, everything will be in the alignment because this is what they're supposed to do because it's my destiny.
Yeah, you know, I just don't agree with that. I years ago, I had a jewelry business, and I quit my job, and this is what Spirit told me to do or asked me to do, so I did it. I started this jewelry business, and I just kept saying, okay, this is, I don't know why I'm supposed to do this, but I'm supposed to do it. Well, you know, now, clearly, at that time, I thought that the object would be, okay, here's my own business, and I'm supposed to make money, and I'm passionate about designing, and so I just thought this, everything would just follow, but, you know, it didn't happen that way. So I kept saying, what's the point of this? Why did you direct me into this? Well, the point was to really raise my energy in such a way that I could hold the energy that I'm now holding. Well, if I was really focused on what I thought it was, you know, that would be blocking myself. So you just have to kind of just go with it. Everything has a reason. It might not be the reason that you think it is. I think that's really important, is that, you know, to not fixate on what you want and what you think.
Yeah, it could be one step on a whole staircase, right?
Yes, exactly. That was my point. Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know there are a lot of things that I've had to do that I wondered at that time, why am I doing this? Why was I led to do this? Because I, you know, the things that I do, I'm led to intuitively also. I mean, when we get the message or the feeling or the pull that this is something we're supposed to do, sometimes I look at myself going, okay, I don't know why I'm doing it, but here I am.
Right.
And I look back, and then I know why. But you know, at the time, you don't realize why.
Right, and to, you know, the point is to not get attached to what you think it is and how you think it ought to show up, and just go with that. But don't be attached to how you think it ought to show up for you, because
exactly.
That blocks you.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I have very good news for the audience. Diane has given me permission to play her music. And the intro and of the show, and I'm really, really excited because I want everyone to hear it. It's really beautiful.
Well, thank you.
When do you find the time? I'm so blown away how you find the time to do all this.
I truly sleep about 2 hours a night.
Oh my gosh.
Need to sleep very much, and so I get a lot of work done. But I'm also very organized and extremely focused, so I understand what I'm building, and I understand, you know, my time frame, and I just do it.
Ah, well, I want to thank you for allowing me to play your music.
Oh, Georgianne, thank you for playing it. I really wanted to share it, you know.
Oh, well, it's very much appreciated. And again, I want to make sure everybody knows how to find you. A lot of your material is at voiceoftheangels.com, correct?
Correct.
And
yes.
I have a link. I'm going to keep the link. It'll be in the archives. It'll be in past guests. It'll be everywhere. You'll be able to find a link to find Diane. But your book, everything can be located there. Or you said you also have a website moneyandmanifesting.com as well?
Yes, yes.
So they can find it there. And also DianeGarris.com, which is DianeGarris.com.
Yes, and of course Amazon as well. Everything is available on Amazon.
And also, if they can hear different selections of your music, they can go to your MySpace, which I find myself going there just to listen and say, okay, I want to get in the mood here, and I want to listen, and I love it.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
I do. So it's myspace.com/voiceoftheangels.
Yes.
So they can find you in a lot of places. Yes. Beautiful woman, beautiful material, a great book. I love the characters. I love the message, and I think you nailed a lot of the topics. I thought it was great. I really did enjoy it.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
And I think everyone else will, too. Like I said, it's a couple of days reading, and it'll be a great reminder to how to get back into the center again, how to, if you're off track, and you know what, as long as you're living in this world, that's going to happen. I mean, it's hard to live in this world and not get off track, wouldn't you say, Diane?
Yes. You know, when you find yourself being taken off your center, you say, what was that about? You know, and then I do have something in the book, too, about how to get back on your center, and it's important. You can't do anything while you're knocked off your center.
Yeah, unless you're a monk living in a monastery with, you know, like, I mean, that's just not the reality for most of us. We are surrounded with a lot of different types of people and a lot of different, you know, situations and scenarios, and it's going to happen.
Yes, and you can bring yourself back to center with your breath as well. It's just like in yoga when you're upside down in some crazy position, breathe while you're contorted.
Exactly.
Way of life, you know.
Yes, and the book is great. It deals with a lot of different areas, and I know many of these different suggestions that she has will serve everybody. So, Diane, I want to thank you again for being with us this evening, and again, you can get her book at voiceoftheangels.com or moneyandmanifesting.com or DianeGarris.com. You can get more information. But thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, Georgianne, it has been wonderful. I appreciate you having me on and helping get the word out, because I really, really want to help people with this. So
and it's evident.
Hopefully we've reached the goal there.
I believe we did. You know, if we can touch just a few people, we know that's a good day.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So everyone, stay in touch. Make sure you're on my email list. Go to georgianne.com. Make sure you're on the email list so you can find out about upcoming guests, any kind of developments with the guests that have been on in the past. Go to danyan.com and get your free second book. I know you can get two books for the price of one. You can't beat that. And it's only for a limited time, just till April 15th. I am going to be announcing more information about my next guest it's going to be about activism and how we can really make a difference in the world we're living in. Because, you know, our voice is a lot stronger than we realize. And I think, Diane, we're realizing our thoughts and everything is stronger than we realize. We don't think we realize how empowered we are, but
good point. Well said. Absolutely.
So we are powerful, so we got to learn how to direct that in a good way. So stay in touch, and we'll see you next time. Good night, everyone.